message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
I'm so glad and humbled to stand before the people of God tonight. I want you to celebrate with me our Father in the Lord, our senior pastor, for this great opportunity. If you are celebrating my father, you do that better. Do it very well. As a son, we honor his father. Please honor our Father in the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you, staff. We pray that the Lord shall increase you more and more in the name of Jesus. The opportunity you have given to us, God will give each and every one of us the grace not to misuse it in the name of Jesus. The Lord will increase your anointing in the name of Jesus. Celebrate with me as I appreciate Mama this evening. Ma, you are most honored. We thank you for your support. Thank you for your sacrifices. We pray that the Lord will bless you more and more in the name of Jesus. Tonight, without taking much of our time, I appreciate every one of us present in house tonight. We'll be continuing our series, Instruction for Destiny Decoration and Fulfillment. Instruction for Destiny Decoration and Fulfillment. And we are on part 4 of this series tonight. From the beginning of this month, we have been treating this series, and we have so far looked at quite a lot of instructions for destiny. Number one, we talked about building a godly character. You see, without a godly character, fulfilling destiny can become a mirage. And we also talk about number two, praying without ceasing. The Bible says in all things we should pray without ceasing. Say, men ought always to pray without ceasing. Prayer is a powerful tool in achieving and in fulfilling your destiny. We talked about plan your life. Don't live your life haphazardly. You have to live your life by planning, adequate planning. The Bible said, where is that man that want to build a house that will not first sit down and count the cost and see if he's able to build or not? If he starts and he could not finish, and men will make mock of him. Also, we talk about don't despise your little beginning. The days of little beginning are the days of wisdom. The days of little beginning are the days of wisdom. Papa took us further by talking about don't live in worry. Don't live in worry. That's number 5 instructions. Don't live in worry. The Bible says in the book of Philippians chapters 4 verse 6, it says, be careful for nothing, but in prayer and in supplication, let your request be made. I want you to know that by worrying yourself, nothing can happen. Worry creates nothing but destruction and damnation. That will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. Number 6, love God passionately. Love God passionately. Love God passionately. Make sure you have the tender love of God in your heart. Be passionate about your love for God. And as you do this, the Lord will bless you in Jesus' name. And number 7, we'll talk about love and invest in your family. Your family are your blood. Invest in them. Create time for them. Don't neglect your family if you want your destiny to be fulfilled. And number 8, we talk about avoid anger. Anger is a killer. And you know, Papa said something. He said, when you go to bed hungry, the devil is your sleeping partner. I know that none of us want the devil to be our sleeping partner. Anger builds nothing, but anger destroys. I pray that anger will not be in our lives in the name of Jesus. We are only permitted to be angry with the devil. We are only permitted to be angry with the devil and things that you don't like in your life. Number 9, he says, be grateful always. Be grateful always. Be grateful always. Men are no longer grateful. We live in an ungrateful world. We live in an ungrateful society. We live in an ungrateful community. But I tell you, for you and I, we must be grateful so that we can get more. He that is grateful will receive more. Number 10, embrace training. Embrace training. I want you to know that training is something that you keep having until you pass on. No man, if the moment you say, I don't want to be trained again, you start dying. that person start going for down. Then Papa talked about something that I love so much. That this one, I love it so much. He said, continuous improvement. You know, when Papa was teaching us on continuous improvement, I remember some lectures that I've had in the time past where they taught us that we must continually improve in everything we are doing. And you know, while he was teaching, I remember another statement that he made. He said, Papa always says something. He say, I detest stationary motion. That is, when nothing is moving forward, he doesn't like it. And that is the attitude that each and every one of us is supposed to have. We must continually improve, and we must continually strive for improvement. Number 12, develop focus and priority. Place your priority right. Where there is no focus, there cannot be target. Target cannot be met when there is no focus. You must be focused. You must prioritize. You must prioritize. Number 13, which was the last one that we had, was don't be weak in the days of adversity. If you are weak in the days of adversity, it means your strength is weak. Proverbs chapter 24 verse 10. Don't be weak in the days of adversity. Don't be weak. Challenges will come. Challenges are what we call sinazos. Sinazos of life will come. And when they come, don't be weak. Don't allow them to overcome you. If thou faith in the days of adversity, thy strength is small. Your strength will not be small in the name of Jesus. I said your strength will not be small in the name of Jesus. And that is why in this church we learn how to wait on the Lord regularly. Because the Bible says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. As you wait on the Lord in the next 3 days, that will be, today is the first day of the 3 days SPB. As we continue, the Lord will give you strength in the name of Jesus. And today we'll be continuing and be looking at more instruction for destiny decoration and fulfillment. Instruction number 14 is be a generous giver. Be a generous giver. Be a generous giver. Let me tell you this, giving is living. Giving is living. Generosity is the way to prosperity. Generosity is the way to prosperity. And I want you to know that givers never lack, but keepers, those that keep, we lose. Givers never lack. Givers never lack. And givers get, why keepers lose? Givers we always get, why keepers we always lose? Let's look at the book of Luke chapter 6 verse 38. The Bible says something there in the book of Luke chapter 6 verse 38. It says, give and it shall be what? And it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together and running over. Now, he said, shall men give unto your bosom? Praise the Lord. In other words, when you give to God or you give to men, God causes a return as a result of your giving. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm here to see a sincere giver who wallops in poverty. A sincere giver that wallops in poverty. You know, many of us believe that giving is a gift. Yes, giving can be a gift. But I think it's a gift that every one of us you have. Because when you don't give, you don't also have the gift of prosperity. If giving is a gift, then it means that prosperity is also a gift. And I want to be prosperous. I don't know about you, I want to be prosperous. I want to be wealthy. I don't want to just be rich. Rich is the minimum of all of them. After rich, you move to prosperity, then you move to wealthy. When you are wealthy, then you have abundance. Our life should not be just in containment of ourselves only. When your life is in containment of just yourself, you are not living. You are still struggling. Living is beyond oneself. The Papa will always say, he says, life is not in its duration, but in its donation. I want you to know that the more you give, the more you are blessed. The more you give, the Bible says, scatter your bread upon many waters, and in few days it will return back unto you. I want you to understand that your giving should not be constrained. Some people have the attitude, if you don't belong to my class, or you don't belong to my tribe, or you don't belong, or you don't like me, or you don't do this or do that, they conditionalize their giving. And as a result, prosperity also conditionalizes itself when it wants to come to them. They get prosperous today, they get backward tomorrow, they get blessed today, they get back tomorrow. Your giving should be continuous and steady. Turn to your neighbor, say, I will give continuously. See, one of the ways to assess destiny decoration and fulfillment is in giving. Let's look at the book of Psalm 126 verse 5. The Bible said, they that sow in tears, they shall reap with joy. They that sow in tears, they shall reap in joy. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. I want you to know that one of the ways you can decorate your destiny is to assess giving. Be a giver. Let me tell you this. Giving breaks the curse of lack and poverty. If you want to break, poverty does not answer to prayer. You can pray and pray. Blessings and prosperity answers to giving. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How many of us know farmers? Thank God we are in the season of planting. We are just entering the planting season. Every farmer are givers. Farmers are one of the greatest givers. You're surprised. Yeah. Farmers are one of the greatest givers. They give their seed to the soil. Without them throwing the seed away in the soil, there cannot be harvest. And let me tell you this, the amount of seed that is thrown into the soil that is given away determines the amount of harvest. If I have decided to give 1 kg of seed, perhaps maybe I'll get 1 ton of harvest. But another person have decided to give 1 ton of seed. You don't expect the same person to come back with 1 ton of harvest. No. And let me tell you this, it is not geometric, it is not arithmetic progression. I've tried it. When you plant 1 acre, what you reap in 1 acre is not times 2 of it you will reap in 2 acres. It doesn't work that way. It is usually more than times 2. Praise the Lord. So if you have 1 acre of planting, another person has 5 acres, and you have harvested 1 ton, then you are imagining in your mind that he or she is going to harvest 5 tons, we are making a mistake. He or she is going to harvest nothing less than 8 to 10 tons. It's not the same way. It's a geometrical progression. So farmers give. And as farmers give, they don't expect that same seed they've sown back. Because that seed must die. Until that seed dies, there cannot be harvest. Not only do they give seed, they give their time. They give their energy, tending to the crop, putting manure, weeding the weeds off, doing all sorts of things to keep the seed growing. And I tell you, when you give, these are things that we need to do also. Giving is the way to blessing. Giving is the way to blessing. What do you give to? What do you give to? Number one, what do you give? Number one, you need to give your tithe and your offering. This is the covenant practice. That is the basics. You have to give your tithe and your offering. Number two, you give prophet offerings. Prophet offerings. Many of us are in a habit. We believe that our pastors are blessed. Our papa is blessed. Pastors are blessed. Yes, we are blessed. We are blessed. I am blessed. How many of you know that pastors are blessed? Pastors are blessed people. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But I tell you, one of the ways for you to assess increase is to give to those who sow. Turn with me to the book of Galatians chapter 6 verse 6. It says, not with eye service as men pleaser, but as servant of Christ doing... No, sorry, I'm reading Ephesians. I want Galatians 6:6. Okay, it's there. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto what? Communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Verse 7, please. Verse 7 of that same scripture. Verse 7, please. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that he also shall reap. Most often, when we quote verse 7, we forget to read verse 6. Verse 6 is tied to verse 7. What the Bible is trying to say is that when you give to those who labor in word, God sees it. And whatsoever you sow, God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, you will reap. Brethren, one of the surest ways to get connected to blessing is to sow prophetic seed. The pastors may not need it, but it is for your own blessing. Number three, giving to the poor. Giving to the poor. Giving to the poor. There are poor. The poor will always be with us. The poor will always be with us, and we need to give to the poor. Number four, give to kingdom projects. Give to kingdom project. When a thing is going on in the house of God, don't fold your hand and say, it doesn't concern me. Let those who are rich be giving. You know, yesterday I was making an explanation about this at the prayer meeting of the prayer team. And I said something. I said, giving is in measures. Giving, how many of us know giving is in measures? But I tell you, the rewards are not in measures. The rewards are according to what you give. Praise the Lord. Giving is in measures. But when God is blessing you back, he says, with the same measure that you meet shall it be given unto you. In other words, your measure, it's your capacity. Praise the Lord. But when you are getting back, you get more than what you have given. That's what I mean by that what you get back is not in measure. It's not the same thing. I've shown 10,000. Perhaps when God wants to bless me, maybe God is going to bless me. It may not necessarily be money back. Maybe it's going to be good health for the next 10 years. God says, because you have sown this seed, you are not going to give any medical practitioner your money. Praise the Lord. I love medical doctors, but I don't like giving them their money because I don't want to be sick. Praise the Lord. And God says, for this purpose, you are not getting sick and you don't get sick. I tell you, do you think if you get sick one day, it is 10,000 naira you are going to pay? No. Praise the Lord. You sow a seed to somebody. Somebody sow a seed of shoe. And 10 years down the line, the person never used his money to buy a shoe for himself. Do you want to quantify the number of shoes that person will use in 10 years? No. So giving to kingdom project is like making investment in heaven. Praise the Lord. Giving to kingdom project is like making investment in heaven. And you know, many of us, we don't understand certain things. When Ezekiah, I'm sorry I'm taking much time on this. If this is all I could do, I will do that. Ezekiah, when he prayed to God, and he said he put God to remembrance of what he has done. Historian had it that there was a particular period that there was no water. This man spent his money to create a channel. The Bible also talked about it, to bring water to Jerusalem, to bring succor to people. This man did, he spent his money, he spent his energy. I tell you, brethren, kingdom investment is one of the surest ways to getting blessed. And if you want your destiny to be decorated, get involved in giving. Turn to your neighbor, say, get involved in giving. Number 15, the second point for tonight, which is number 15 in the line of our instruction. Live with a walking and life conscience. Live with a walking conscience. I call it live with a life conscience. Don't let your conscience be dead. It is a dangerous thing to live without conscience. Conscience is what? Is the monitoring officer assigned to each person's heart by God to tell us when we have done what is right and what is wrong. Conscience is the monitoring officer that God has assigned. Nobody is without a conscience. There is no one that is without a conscience. Even little babies are with conscience. You don't know that babies are with conscience. When they are sucking and they start growing teeth and they are sucking the mom's breast and they bite, then they will turn and look at the mom's face. And when they will turn and they smile. They know what they've done. Praise the Lord. Even babies have conscience. I don't know mothers in the house if you have experienced that. Hallelujah. God bless you, man. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Even babies have conscience. But you know what? There are some people that have smeared their conscience with iron. They've killed their conscience. Praise the Lord. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2. Praise the Lord. Media, please, you have to be fast. My time is fast spent, please. Try to help me. God will help you also in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. I read, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with hot iron. They've deadened. Now, when you pick in those days, when they want to mark a slave, they put hot iron to make an inscription. By the time that place is, the cells in that place are dead. So when you make your conscience to be to be seared with hot iron, you kill your conscience, and you no longer have a leading conscience. You do things that are reprobate. You do things that are irritating to God. Praise the Lord. The conscience has an arresting power. The conscience, God has given us conscience to caution us and to help us to live a godly life. The book of John chapter 8 verse 9. And I'm going to read from here. And they which had it, being convicted by their own conscience. Being convicted by their own conscience. Being convicted by their own conscience. You can see it. Conscience, your conscience sometimes prick you. If you want your destiny to be decorated and you want it to be fulfilled, don't let the police officer that God has given to your mind, which is your conscience, don't let it be dead. Let it be working. Keep your conscience good and the Lord will give you peace. Because if you don't have a good conscience, you cannot have peace. Those who have smeared their conscience, those who have killed their conscience, have no peace towards God or with man. Peace is taken away from them. The book of Acts of Apostles, chapter 24, verse 16, I read. It says, and here do I assess myself to always have a conscience void of offense towards God and towards man. Let your conscience be clear. Praise the Lord. In whatever you are doing, have a clear conscience. Don't do things with a conscience that is wrong. You know, there are sometimes some things are not actually wrong in their own. But when your conscience tells you don't do it, please don't do it. Praise the Lord. I was reading a story. Was I reading or hear or listening to a message? I can't remember. Either reading or listening. A woman of God, I wanted to go and minister somewhere. I was reading. And as she was going, the Holy Spirit instructed her to dress in a particular way. And she normally don't dress that way. She normally don't dress that way. But her conscience could not allow her. So she went back and changed and dressed that way. When she got to the auditorium where she was going to minister, she discovered that almost, and it was a women's program, every woman in that hall dressed that particular way. If she has dressed the way she wanted to dress earlier, they will not receive her message. Brethren, the conscience is there to correct us. And the Lord was glorified in the meeting. When God speaks to your conscience, listen to the voice of God. Praise the Lord. You see, you either, it is either you are condemned or you are commended by your conscience. And you should always be commended by your conscience. It is either you get accused or you get assured by what you are doing. If you get accused, know that what you are doing is wrong. And if you are doing what is wrong, you are not building your destiny. Rather, you are tearing your destiny down. May we not tear our destiny down in the name of Jesus. Your boss have sent you to go and buy something. And when you get there, the boss said this thing is 10 naira. And when you get there, you are able to price it to 8 naira. And you felt that the 2 naira, oh, 2 naira is too small. Okay, let's say the boss said 100,000. And you have priced it down to 80,000. And the difference is 20,000. And when you were about to write the receipt, I don't know if you have been there before. I've been there several times. Our brother from the east selling the thing says, "Now, how much you want me to write?" And you look at him and said, "You know, at that point you'll be tempted." Praise the Lord. How much you want me to write now? He said, "Your boss have told you it's 100,000. Like, if I write 95 and I have say 5,000, the boss will still be happy. But you have put 5,095, and immediately your conscience said, "No." Don't do it. And you're like, and you are in between the deep blue sea and the devil, and you don't know what to do. Brethren, at that particular point, obey your conscience. I beg, how much I buy him? Ask him that question. And he said, 80K, put that one there. That will save you. And it will decorate your destiny. If Joseph have decided to throw away his conscience, I tell you, he will be the chief servant. That's the highest he will ever be. And I can assure you, the madam of the house will change him. I can bet it with you. Because women change their mind so quickly. When they get what they want, they throw you away like toilet roll. You just use the guy to throw the guy away, flush the guy down the drain. Destiny destroyed. Oh yeah. But this man said, no. How will I do this and sin against God? And that is what got his destiny decorated. If he didn't go to prison, he won't meet the chief butler and the cup bearer. He will not. And he will not have access to Pharaoh. He will never become the prime minister. His destiny will end in the house of Potiphar. You know, the beautiful part of it is, Potiphar was the chief of guard to Pharaoh. And when Joseph became the prime minister, do you know what happened? Automatically, Potiphar answers to him. I wonder what the madam would do the day she sees Joseph coming to visit in a state banquet. She and her husband coming and Joseph sitting. I wonder what she would be. But the reverse could have been the case if Joseph has lost his conscience. Brethren, don't lose your conscience. I pray that God will help us in Jesus' name. Certain things might not be wrong. I've said that earlier. But you do well to avoid them for the sake of clear conscience. Just do well to avoid them. Do well to avoid them. You see, Paul the Apostle says, if my eating of meat will make my brother to sin, he said, I would rather not eat meat. You know why? Because that brother is of a weaker, is weaker. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 8. I think verse 6 down. You see, brethren, certain things, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. And I will not be brought under the bondage of all, of none. Brethren, there are things that we need to understand. Your conscience is important to your destiny. Your conscience is important to the fulfillment of your destiny. Your conscience is important to your peace. Please guard your conscience. Guard your conscience. You know, that's why people that do drugs, what they want to do is kill their conscience with the drugs. People that do codeine, methamphetamines, chemistry student, science student. You know what they are trying to do? They are trying to kill their conscience. And I tell you, by the time their conscience is killed, their destiny is destroyed. May your destiny not be destroyed in Jesus' name. You start seeing them having all kind of issues. God will help us in Jesus' name. Number 16, because of my time. Correct yourself from the mistake of others. I love this word. Learn from the errors of others. As Papa would say, in my place, it is the horse that is in the front that the one walking behind look after and follow. The horse moving in the front can see that there is a pit here and see went inside. It will be stupid and foolish of the horse coming behind to still jump into that same pit. But that is the way a lot of people behave. You know why? People don't want to learn. People don't want to follow instructions. People don't want to follow training. One of the major things in life is that we keep learning. You must study the mistake of others and learn from it. The greatest fool in life is a man or woman who keep repeating the same mistakes over and over and over. Brethren, if you fall today, that is not the end. Says, rejoice not over me, my enemy, because if I fall today, I will rise. Says, there is hope for a tree that is cut down. He said, at the scent of water, it will sprout again. Don't remain in that mistake. Learn from it. It could be your own mistake. It could be the mistakes of your father. It could be the mistake of your mother. It could be the mistake of your sister or that of your friend. Learn from it. You are a student. You have a colleague who decided to carry ABC Orijo inside the exam hall. And the examiner caught her. You to be stupid of you, the next paper, to carry the same thing. And said, he didn't make it micro mini enough. That's why they caught her. She wasn't smart. She's not a smart girl. She's not a smart girl. She's not smart. That's why they got him. He's not smart. You are more fooler if there's any English than him or her. If anyone does that, that person is more fooler. You know why? Because it is obvious. It is, you didn't know what the examiner used to got that person. You don't know what he used. So you don't know if what he used is going to just expose you infinito like that. So what do you do? Avoid it. Avoid it. Somebody, they said, don't do this. He said, that is what I will do. And he has done it and he has made mistake. Learn from it. Those who have formed the habit of reading Christian biographies often turn out to be wise and successful. Those who study the life of those who have gone before often turn out to be successful people. Every error or mistake is a curriculum for learning. Every somebody's error, somebody's mistakes is a curriculum for learning. How about Einstein? Isaac Newton was asked. Thomas Edison, I think, the man that made electricity, was asked that you have been doing this experiment for hundreds of times, almost 1,000 plus, and you are not getting it. Why are you not giving up? He said, no, I can't give up because I've just learned about 1,000 ways why this thing will not work, and I'm going to do it. He was learning from each mistake. When his lab got burnt, and they asked him, they said, all your research and everything is gone. He said, no, it's all my errors and mistakes that I just got burnt. I'm going to start again, and I'm going to learn. Those ones have gone. Don't, mistakes and errors and failures of the past is for us to achieve success today. It's for the success of the future. Somebody has made an error in marriage by not knowing how to control her mouth, and you live in the same house with that person, and with your koro, as you saw the husband kick her out of the house, and you are not married, and your husband said, Jack, you said, Jack. Learn. You see, we need to understand that errors of the past is for us to make a correction and move forward. So, if you want your life to be decorated, learn from the mistake of others. Learn from the mistakes of others. All the mistakes written in the Bible are for our learning. The mistakes of Samson is for our learning. The errors of David, the errors of King Saul, and all these people, they are for us to learn. Turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Romans 15 says, for whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for what? For our learning. They are written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scripture, might have what? Might have hope, might have success, might have a future. They are written for our learning. They are not there just for fun. They are written so that we can learn, so that we can learn from them and have a future. I decree that you will have a future in the name of Jesus. Brethren, learn from the errors of the past. Sincerely, sometimes I remember some things that I've seen people older than me did. And I tell you, I don't want to do the same thing. I don't want to do the same thing. I've seen a brilliant young man, brilliant first class candidate, mess up his life with ganja wee. And for the next 20-something years of his life, he was in psychiatric hospital. Until God had mercy on him. Got married at age 50-something. Because the greater part of his life has been wasted. I tell you, that time, if they tell him, don't... So it will be stupid on pattern of me to say, I want to... Let me experiment. Let me just check the chemical composition and I take it. It will be stupid. Because this happened with my... I saw it. It's not storybook thing. It's a blood relation. I saw it. So I know that this thing is not right. Brethren, may we learn from the errors of the past in the name of Jesus. Not only of others. What about ourselves? Perhaps we have made some mistakes in the past. Don't repeat the same thing. Don't keep making the same error and you expect a different result. No, it doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. If you have studied 2 hours per subject per day for the last exam and all you have is C and B, and you want to have A and no B, it means what? You see somebody who is studying 6 hours. Oh, develop yourself to study and to know. change your study pattern. You may not need to study 6 hours. It might mean that you need to change your study pattern. Your own style may not be the style of that person. Change it and discover yourself. Perhaps you have invested in a business and the business failed because you did not give enough time. Try to find out, why did this business fail? That's what we call root cause analysis. Do the root cause analysis. Apply the principle of the root cause analysis. Now bring it to Kappa. Corrective action, preventive action. Correct it and prevent it. And you will move forward. Please don't remain the same. God wants us to keep improving. And one of the ways the Bible has said, he said, these things are written so that we can do what we can learn. There are books that have been written by great men of God that detail their whole life experience, their successes and their failures. You can learn from them. Learn and you will improve. Number 17. Reclaim lost ground given to the devil. Reclaim lost ground. The devil takes delight in stealing what is carelessly abandoned or what is carelessly handled. What is carelessly handled or carelessly abandoned, the devil takes advantage of stealing it. The Bible says something in the book of John chapter 10 verse 10. It says what? The thief has not come but to steal and to kill and to destroy. That is the work of the devil. The devil has no other work but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Brethren, once you know this, don't allow the devil to take advantage of you. Let's turn our Bible to the book of 1 Samuel. The book of 1 Samuel chapter 30. I will be reading from verse 8. That scripture, something happened in the life of King David. King David was at a particular place and the Philistine came. He went out somewhere. Before he came back, the Philistine raided his camp and they took away their wives and their children and everything they have. And when they came back, the Bible says the men were so distressed. Let's read it. Let's read it. The book of 1 Samuel. Can we go to verse 7 now? Verse 7. Let's come from verse 7. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Okay. No, I will read from here. I'm reading from verse 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were came to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekite had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it and had taken the women captive that were therein, and they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted their voice and wept until they had no more power. These were men, able-bodied men, not women. It is the wife and the children that were taken away. These were soldiers. The Bible said they wept till there was no more strength in them. Let's continue. Even David's wife and his children were taken away. And in verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. The people were so depressed to the point that they felt like David is the one that has caused this. So let's just kill him and be done away with him. But look at verse 8. The Bible says, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely do what? Overtake them without fault, recover all. And you know what? David actually did pursue, and David actually recovered. Verse 18, the Bible said, and David recovered all that the Amalekite had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. You will recover all that the enemy has taken away in the name of Jesus. Sometimes we are reckless in what God has given us. Sometimes we are careless with what God has given us. Sometimes we don't treat them with care. Sometimes we abandon them. And this gives the room for the devil to come in. But I have a good news for you. If only you can get back on your feet and claim that which belongs unto you. Perhaps the enemy has taken away your destiny. Maybe it's a gift that you know this gift is tied to the fulfillment of my destiny. And the enemy has taken it away. Rise up on your feet and fight the good fight of faith. Don't sit down like that man at the pool of Bethesda that was there for 38 years. And when they asked him, what shall we do unto you? He said, I don't have anybody that will put me. They did not ask him, did you have anybody? The question was, what can be done to save you? What do you want? What do you require? Instead of him saying, I need to be healed, he started giving stories. Stop giving stories. Stop fighting yourself and fighting others for things that have been lost. Get up on your feet and fight the devil back and recover all. For you will surely recover all in the name of Jesus. You have to pray hard. You have to pray hard to recover all things that has been taken away. The result of such prayer is the restoration of blessings. I see your blessings being restored in the name of Jesus. The result of such prayer is the restoration of favor. It's the restoration of progress. I see your favor and your progress and your promotion being restored in the name of Jesus. I tell you, you can reclaim all that has been lost. Either lost by your father, or lost by your mother, or lost by yourself, or lost by anybody, you can reclaim it. I know of somebody that was expelled from school. NDA to be precise. Tama 4. That means part 4. He was already writing project. He did something and he was implicated by some people and they expelled him. And he came back dejected, demoralized and not happy. And one way or the other, he met with Christ. He gave his life to Christ. In the process, even his father was thinking of disowning him because the father felt he has brought shame to him. But this guy met with Christ and Christ turned his life around and he rose up and he began to fight and he fought back. Today, he's a PhD holder. I tell you, brethren, you can fight back whatever the enemy has taken away from you. Rise up on your feet and fight back and you will reclaim it. If they have remained in that place crying and weeping, I tell you, he will be there. They will take away his wife and his children. They will become slaves for life. But this man refused to remain at that particular portion. He got up on his feet and he reclaimed that which is lost. I tell you tonight, you can reclaim what the devil has stolen from you via by permission. You know, sometimes we permit the devil to take away some things via sin. When you get yourself involved with sin and some things, the Bible says, if the hedge is not broken, the serpent will not bite. You allow some things. But I tell you, the Bible says, even the lawful captive of the mighty shall be delivered. The lawful captive of the mighty shall be delivered. I don't care if it is a lawful possession or unlawful possession. If you have Jesus, if you have Jesus, he says in 1 Corinthians 5:17, behold, if you have given your life to Christ, behold, if you have surrendered your life to him, you are a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become new. You can claim them back in Christ Jesus. All that is lost can be reclaimed. Your destiny must be fulfilled. Your destiny must be decorated. Rise up on your feet as we begin to pray tonight.
Wow, I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.